Amen.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Well, greetings and welcome to another edition of the Armor of God telecast. Have you ever wanted to be noticed, appreciated, understood? In brief, have you ever wanted to be heard, particularly by other human beings, friends, relatives, husbands, wives, parents, and somehow they have ignored you or they didn't quite comprehend what you were trying to communicate? And sometimes that happens with us and God, right? We suspect that our prayers go as far as the ceiling, and we wonder why we have not been heard. In fact, we are so disturbed by that, it stunts our spiritual growth. And many times it causes us to absent ourselves from the presence of God because we think he's not listening. Little children have a notion of wanting to be heard. They could ask in a very simplistic form, "Father or mother, can you hear me?" And that's disturbing because really the old adage, children should be seen and not heard, is a misnomer. What is important to know is that there's a time and place for everything. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent, but I don't adhere to the notion that children should be seen and not heard, even though it was an experience in my life when I was about 12 years of age. I had joined the Baptist church and I was now a part of the male chorus at 12 years of age, and all of these men were around me and so forth. And one particular day, I'll never forget it, it was after church services, we went around to a little local soda shop, and I'm there with two grown men, and there I'm sitting with them, and they're talking over the events of the worship experience and so forth, and I started to chime in with my comments, and one of the gentlemen looked at me quite sternly and said, "Children should be seen and not heard." Well, I was crushed because I thought I was a part of the crew, you know, the fellows, and I was just going along and joining in the conversation, but they observed me as perhaps being inconsequential, insignificant, a child. And therefore, I could not get into an adult conversation. Now, let's think about that for a moment, because when we flip that over to the reality that God is older than everybody, older than dirt, yes, for he created the dirt, are there times when he treats us that way? When he says, "I can't hear you, I'm not listening, la da da da, covers the ears," and all of that, because he doesn't respond, right? To some of the requests that we have, some of our prayers. Perhaps it's for healing. Perhaps it's for financial intervention. Perhaps it's from emotional circumstances, whatever it might be. And so we wonder, we're in a quandary, whether God is listening to us. Well, to assist you today in coming to a conclusion about that, I want to tell you what we're offering in today's program. First of all, it's a double CD offer. The first offer is entitled, "Father, Can You Hear Me?" This is a sermon I delivered recently before a live audience in Chicago, and I believe that you will gain some benefit from it because it has a key to how the Father hears. But in addition, Bill Watson has provided a sermon entitled "Prayer, A Faith-Building Experience." And oh my, what a exercise in building faith through prayer. And there is something about prayer that we all can learn about. And I want you to make sure you make that toll-free call to 1-888-578-8791, and you will receive both of these CDs absolutely free. We never charge for anything. And the only follow-up that you may get is a letter letting you know about other free material. So take time to do that, and also hit us up on our website at www.cgi.org. The issue of prayer is quite interesting because it's how we ask God for things. This is how we express things. Sometimes it's merely thanksgiving. Maybe it's just an appreciation for what He's already done, but it's a communication tool. It's a means by which we establish a relationship with Him. So sometimes when it seems like there is nothing coming back from the other source and the great power resource called God, we wonder, did He hear me? Is He listening? If you'll turn with me in the scriptures to Luke, the 11th chapter. Let's turn to Luke 11, because we all know that in Matthew 6 is where we have the complete outline of what's called the Lord's Prayer. But there's an interesting added ingredient here that I want to emphasize. This is Luke 11 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he," that is Jesus Christ, "was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples," referring to John the baptizer. "And Jesus responded by saying to them, when you pray, say, Our Father." Our Father. Father. Relationships. Connectivity. So as a child growing up, did your father pay attention to you? Did he give you the kind of attentive direction and instruction and caring that encouraged you and built you up and caused you to be the complete person you are today? Or did he ignore you, working all the time, kind of leaving you at loose ends? And maybe you were reared by your mother primarily, and sometimes she didn't hear you as well, and so the relationship kind of teeters and on the brink of disaster from time to time because you want to be heard. Baby's first entrance into the world is on a stage of, well, I need to be noticed. I've been incubated for 9 months in this growing process, and so now I'm out of the womb. So what does a child generally do? Generally speaking, because every now and then you get a good one. Bill Cosby tells a story about the first child that was born, how nice she was. She was so nice, he said, let's have another one. And she came out and they named her Beelzebub because she really was crying out for attention, you see. So it can happen where you have a good one that is quiet and sleeps and all of that. But by and large, they come kicking and screaming into the world because they want attention. They want to be recognized, and before they can even communicate with words, real words, they will cry out, and by the power of their lungs, you will notice them to exasperation. I hear you. Are you wet? Do you need to be fed? Are you sleepy or irritated? What's going on? But they get heard. Now, with God, what do you have to do to demonstrate to Him that you want to be heard? Do you throw a tantrum? And does He respond to tantrums? Do you move down the line of hurting yourself purposely so that He will respond? Do you think that by paying tithes you get His attention? And He's going to automatically listen to you because you are tithing, when your intent is not to be gracious and to be grateful and to recognize His bounty to you, is just to get His attention so you can get what it is that you want. Friends, the Bible is very instructive about God hearing us. I want to give you two examples of an individual being heard by God. Then I want to give you an example of a nation being heard by God. Throughout the Psalms, we hear David often expressing a desire or a request that God would hear him. Throughout the Psalms, you see the presence of that. And throughout the entire Bible, you hear and see individuals praying for answers, praying for a response from God. What about you? And has He heard you? Is He listening to you? Does He pay attention to you at all? If you'll turn back to Genesis, the 21st chapter, this is a marvelous story of Hagar and her son, Ishmael. Ishmael is the son of Abraham by a relationship suggested first by Sarah, and doing so, it created a maelstrom of difficulty in the household because Abraham went along with the program of his wife's suggestion and had a child by his slave or her slave named Hagar. And in so doing, this child Ishmael was born, but it was not according to the plan of God. It was not according to the will of God. And later, when God manifested his purpose and his will for Abraham by giving him a seed, giving him a legitimate heir named Isaac through Sarah when they were well up in age, 90 and 100. Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100. So now you've got a problem in the household. You have the legitimate heir, Isaac, but you've got Ishmael, who's at this age approximately 15. Let's see what the scriptures say. In chapter 21 and verse 14, Abraham rose up early in the morning, took bread and a bottle of water and gave it to Hagar, put it on her shoulder and the child and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent, that is, it was gone. The water was all gone. And the child that she cast under the shrubs, verse 16. And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot, for she said, "Let me not see the death of the child." He's about 15 years of age now. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Wait a minute. We read that she prayed and lifted up her voice and wept. There's no indication that he was doing the same thing, but I would suggest that if you're out in the wilderness, your water is gone, your bread is gone, and your food is gone, your every supply is gone, that you might cry out. And here's what the Word of God says. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." Now, the rest of the story is quite interesting. God promises to Hagar that her son Ishmael would grow into 12 nations also, told that to Abraham as well, that he would be significant and consequential. Look at how God puts it. He says, "I will make him a great nation." And when you look at the descendants of Ishmael today in the world where they have oil galore, they have plenty. You look at some of the Arab Emirates or Saudi Arabia itself. These are descendants of Ishmael. And because God said, "I have heard him," look at the bounty that those nations are blessed with. Because God heard them. Of individual. A nation also can be heard by God, if you'll turn with me to Exodus. Exodus, the third chapter, and see an example of a nation crying out to God in a situation whereby they need to be heard. They need a response from God. And I suspect that many of you as individuals, as families, need a response from God. Look at what happens here in Exodus, the third chapter, in verse 7. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey." And it goes on to mention the seven nations there, the Canaanites, the Hivites, etc. God heard the cry of people who had been in servitude for 400 years. He heard an individual. He hears a nation. But there's a problem. There's something that we must come to understand about being heard of God. And it's really quite simple. If you are perplexed, if you are concerned, if you're wondering why God has not moved upon your request, because he's not responding, is it because he's not hearing? What is the reason that he has not come to your aid as he did with Ishmael and as he did with the children of Israel? If you turn with me over to Isaiah, there's a component of being heard that I sometimes think we ignore. In order to be heard by God, there must be some recognition that there is a prior condition in place. And essentially it is this. If you want God to hear you, you must first listen to him. That's an interesting note. Look at chapter 59 of the book of Isaiah. Here is what is written here by Isaiah. He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." So if God is not responding to us, or he doesn't appear to see us, and he's not motivated to intervene for us, there must be a reason. And look at what Isaiah writes for us. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Iniquities, a nice sounding word for sin. "And your sins," in case you didn't catch it from the iniquities, "have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Father, can you hear me? And if he can't hear you, is it because there is something missing within you? Is there something that you need to be aware of and a condition you need to correct? Let me give you some biblical examples of how it is that sin comes upon us. He says in verse 3, "For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has uttered perverseness. Now none calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." This is a description of both individuals and a nation. When we look around the United States, for instance, Canada, down in Jamaica, Australia, over in the Philippines, in different places where this program airs, if you just look around and pay attention, do you ever come in contact with lies? Do you ever come in contact with people who deceive, who speak evil of each other? You ever come in contact with it? Do you listen to the talk shows on the radio and on television like I do? Do you ever see and know and recognize iniquity when you see it? If it is true that you can see it, is it then possible that the reason God doesn't respond to us as a nation, whatever nation you may dwell in, or us as individuals, is because of this passage of Scripture? It's not because his arms are too short, or his eyes can't see, or his ears are too heavy. It says in verse 7, "Your feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Your thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in your paths. The way of peace know you not, and there is no judgment in your goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goes therein shall not know peace." If you want the Father to hear you, there must come a repentance mode, or a change or transformation must happen in order for him to hear you. I want to repeat this statement again because I want us to get it. I want us to comprehend. If we want God to hear us, we must listen to him. In fact, back in, and there are other verses here in chapter 59 that you can read on your own, but if you'll just go to the book of Revelation in the third chapter, here's a bit of information that I think you will appreciate. Because Jesus Christ is quoted here, if you have a red letter Bible, you will see that these words are in red letter. Chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him or her, and he with me." I will have a relationship with them on the basis of them hearing my voice. Jesus Christ said in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not pay attention to." But maybe, just maybe, the reason the Father is not listening to us is that we're listening to other voices. We're listening to tradition. We're listening to culture, popular culture. We're listening to the Joneses. We're listening to everybody but the voice of God. That was the problem with the ancient Israelites. You want to know why they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness? Because they were listening to other voices. So when they called out to God, "Oh, please spare us. Please help us. Please intervene for us," God says to them, "You will not enter the promised land because you have listened to other voices. You have paid attention to the gods around you. You have embraced their notions and their attributes and their concerns. You even had the audacity to say, oh, we should have stayed in Egypt by the flesh pots rather than to be brought out here by this God that Moses is talking about. And so that God determined that he would not listen to you anymore. This is an important point to ponder when you're trying to determine if the Father is listening. He is only listening if you are paying attention to what he has to say. Jesus Christ gives an example in Matthew 13, this parable section, Matthew 13, where he gives the parable of the sower and the seeds and so forth. But there is a statement that reoccurs in that particular passage that I want to draw to your attention. Chapter 13, and let's take a look at verse 9. This is chapter 13 of Matthew, and verse 9 says this: Who has ears to hear? Let them hear. Oh, in other words, you have two ears to listen and one mouth to speak. So God is expecting that his followers would listen and pay attention. You remember in the Garden of Eden when Adam had sinned and he's trying to hide himself from God and God calls for him, Adam, where are you? And Adam responds, says, I hid myself because I was naked. And God asks him a very interesting question. He says, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree? You know, as a parent, you run into these situations with children sometime when they want you to respond and they want good gifts from you and good things from you. And all of a sudden you figure it's too quiet in the room or it's too quiet in the basement where you might be. Too quiet in the backyard, so you go to check up. And when you go to ask them some questions, you know right away that they're not telling the truth. You know right away that they are involved in some activity that they ought not be involved in. And so you begin to probe and ask questions in order that you first be heard before you can hear them. And that's how it is with God, my friends. Father, can you hear me? Well, look at Jesus saying again here in Matthew 9 and verse 43. He repeats this statement again. He says, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. So if you want God to hear you, my friends, guess what you've got to do? You've got to listen. You've got to pay attention. You've got to quiet yourself. That's the object of meditation, by the way, to think on the words you read in the Bible, to consider what they may mean and how they apply to you. And in doing so, that meditation opens an avenue by which God can speak to you. Yes, he speaks through his word, but you've got to meditate on it, cogitate on it, contemplate upon it, so that you can come to understand what the will of God is. In fact, the Apostle Paul suggested this, that you be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, friends, it is a challenge to answer the question, God, Father, can you hear me, when we have not done everything that we ought to do and to ensure that he will hear us. Let me end with this story. It's over in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. This is where young Samuel has been dedicated by his mother, Hannah, to the service of the temple and the service of the prophet and high priest Eli. And so he's asleep on his bed one day and a voice comes to him and calls him by name, Samuel. He assumes that it is Eli calling him. So three times he goes to Eli and Eli says, go back and lie down. The third time he gave them instruction, when you hear the third time that your name is called, simply say, Lord, Yahweh, I am here. I am here. And you know what God says to him? This young man who had not yet come to the importance of a relationship with God, he says, I have a mission for you. I have a job for you to do because the word of God and the visions of God were spare in those days. But this young man, Samuel, by the way, Samuel means heard of God. His mother prayed. her prayer was heard. She gave birth to this one child and gave him back to the service of God. Friends, miracles do happen. God does respond to us. He can hear us. But the question is, can you hear him? Stay tuned and listen now as my colleague tells you about the offers made in today's program. Join us again on another edition of The Armor of God, where you can put on the whole armor of God, my friends, that you will be able to stand in the evil day.
Father, can you hear me? What an intriguing question that Mr. Bronson James put to us today. And in the course of Mr. James's presentation, he went through a lot of things that hopefully were very edifying for many of us. But there was one very simple message that I don't know if you caught that was underlining his whole presentation. And that is, very simply, my friends, God wants a relationship with you and me. And so often, sadly, the case is that we fail God in the development of that relationship. I want to bring your attention to a point over here in the book of Isaiah. The prophet had something very important to say that I'd like to add to what Mr. James had mentioned. Here in verse 1, he states something very encouraging, by the way. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. That's encouraging. God is near. That's what the prophet is saying. And his hand are reaching out. He can save us. He's offering us salvation. However, notice this, verse 2, he says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. In addition, the Apostle James in chapter 4, verse about 3 or so, the half-brother of Jesus mentions we don't receive because we don't have the right attitude. We try to obtain upon our lusts. God is very interested, my friends, in our attitude. And if we expect to be heard, we need to get our attitude right with God. And that's why you need to get the offers that we're presenting today on today's program. Get them now, both. Dial 888-578-8791. Ask for the 2 one-hour presentations, one by Mr. Bronson James himself, titled Father, Can You Hear Me? And a complimentary offer, another one-hour presentation titled Prayer, a Faith-Building Experience. Both are reciprocal to one another, complementing this endeavor that all of us should be very involved with in the developing of a relationship with God. Dial that number, 888-578-8791. Friends, this is Bill Watson, and as we often do here on this program, mention to you, you keep on that whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in this evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and support.